The following shir has been presented by Dayan Yohannesen David Hul, Dayan for the Beis Avad in Yerushalayim, and is brought to you by the Beis Avad Halacha Center.
Maseches Bava Metzia has been graciously dedicated by Michael and Mindy Ashley in loving memory of Pearl Sarah Bas Nosson Ashley. May the Torah studied be a merit for her neshama.
Bava Metzia, Daf Pei Vav. Two people had a financial dispute, so they decided to go to the Beis Din. Now, instead of going to a regular Beis Din of three dayanim, they both agreed that they would go to a single dayan, which if both sides agree to it is perfectly acceptable, and the dayan will hear both sides and he will rule accordingly. They went to the dayan, they both presented their case, and the dayan wrote a psak din, a halachic ruling as to who is correct and who has to pay who and how much. However, unfortunately, the text of the psak din was a little ambiguous, and it wasn't clear what was included in the psak din. So there was a dispute between the two parties. One of them said, let's go back to the dayan who wrote the psak din and ask him to explain what he meant by his psak din. The other side said, no, once he's written his psak din, now if we want to find out exactly what the interpretation of the psak din is, we would go to another Beis Din of three dayanim and ask them to interpret it. Maybe the first dayan who wrote the psak din, once he's lifted his pen from the paper, has no longer the authority to explain what he meant by the psak din. Well, a similar shaila came in front of the Rashba. In the Rashba's case, Reuven had a number of shtorichov, bills of debt, on various different goyim who owed him money, and he gave them over to Shimon as a matona, and he promised Shimon that he would not actually go and personally claim the debts of the goy, because obviously if he would do so, when Shimon would come afterwards with a bill of debt, with the shtachov to the goy, Shimon would not be able to retrieve the money, because the goy would say, I've already paid Reuven. So Reuven promised Shimon that he wouldn't actually go and collect the money at all. He gave over the shtach to Shimon and said, you can collect the money whenever you want. And he made a shavua, he swore that he would not go to pick up the money. Now, sometime afterwards, Reuven and Shimon had various other different financial disputes between the two of them, and they went to a pashtun, to a single dayan, who would try and make a pshara to sort out the disagreement between them. And the dayan said as follows, each one of you should write a shtar mechila, each one should be moichel the other one, each one should forego any debt that each one has on, and any claims that each one has on the other one, and well, that would sort out the whole problem, apart from the shtoros which Reuven had already given over to Shimon, and they should not be included in the mechila, and they should remain as valid as they are today. Well, both sides agreed to that. They wrote a shtar mechila to each other and everything else. Then sometime afterwards, Shimon went to one of the goyim to collect his money, and the goyim told him he'd already paid Reuven. It turned out that Reuven had actually gone and retrieved some of the money, and so some of the shtoros which he'd given to Shimon were now invalid. So Shimon said to Reuven, you owe me the money, because you promised you wouldn't go and fetch it. Reuven said, no, but we each wrote a shtar mechila to each other on any claims we have. So Shimon said, yes, but the dayan wrote that not included in those shtar mechila is the shtoros which you gave over to me, and they are remain as valid as they were today. Says Reuven, yes, but on the day which the dayan wrote that, I had already collected some of the money from the goyim. So when the dayan says they're as valid as they are today, that means that he actually had in mind that those which are not valid today, because I'd already collected the money, they should be included in the mechila, that we were both moichel one to the other. So they went back to the original dayan, and the dayan said, yes, indeed, that's exactly what I meant. When I wrote that each one is moichel the other one, any claims they have on each other, apart from the shtoros which Reuven gave to Shimon on the goy, which are as valid as they are today, I intended that anything which had already been collected, which is no longer valid today, should be included in a mutual mechila from one to the other. So the question came before the Rashba, and the Rashba said, no, the dayan is not believed to explain afterwards that that's what he meant when he wrote this in his psak din. And the Rashba based himself on a Gemara in Kiddushin, Dav Ayin Dav Dav Aleph, as paskin in the Shulchan Aruch and Chesh and Mishpat, Simon Kaf Gimel, that a lone dayan, as opposed to a panel of three dayanim, or even two, a lone dayan who gives a psak din, once the two parties have left his presence and are no longer in front of him, is not believed afterwards to say which one he said is chayav, which one he said is potter. if the two parties afterwards claim one of them said the Dayan said I'm right, one of them said the Dayan said I'm right, then the Dayan himself is no longer believed once they're no longer in front of him to explain which one he said was Chayav and which one he says is Potter. And therefore, says the Rashba, the same thing here. The Dayan wrote a Psak Din. It's not clear from the Psak Din exactly what he meant. The Dayan himself, as a single person, is not believed to explain what he meant by the Psak Din. We have to look at the Psak Din and interpret it according to the best of our abilities. And so paskens the Ramah in the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Kaf Gimel. However, there is a tshuva of the Marival, who implies not like that. The Marival says that a Pashrin who made a pshara between two parties, and he wrote down the Psak Din, and it's ambiguous, it's not clear what he meant, he is believed to explain what he meant. And the Marival explains why. It's true that the Gemara in Kiddushin says that once a Dayan has issued his Psak, he's not believed afterwards to explain what his Psak was, who was Chayav and who was Potter. But if he wrote a Psak which itself was ambiguous, that means to say that he hasn't yet given a final ruling. Because the ruling he's given so far, it's not clear what he meant. So, since he hasn't yet given a final ruling, he's still serving as a Dayan. If he's still serving as a Dayan, he can continue to serve as a Dayan and explain to us what he meant by the ruling that he gave. And so the Marival says, a Dayan is believed to explain what he meant in his Psak Din if there's any ambiguity about it. Says the Shach, there would apparently be a stira between the Marival and the Rashba. The Marival says the Dayan is believed to explain his ambiguities, and the Rashba seems to say that he's not believed. Says the Shach, perhaps we could be miyashiv the two, that it shouldn't actually be the contradiction between the two. Both are correct. The Marival's case was talking about a case where the text of the Psak Din, which the Dayan wrote, was ambiguous. It could equally mean one way, or it could equally mean the other way. In such a case, the Dayan is believed to explain which of the two possibilities he had in mind. Whereas in the Rashba's case, the simple reading of the text indicated only one explanation. The other explanation, in order to explain that, we would have to force it into the words of the Dayan. That already the Dayan is not believed to say, that to take his words out of their simple explanation and try and explain that it actually meant something else. Even if it could possibly mean the second explanation, since that's not the simple reading of it, the Dayan is not believed to say such a thing. So says the Shach. And the Urim Tumim and the Sifas HaMishpat both quote the Shach LaHalacha. However, the Piskei Tshuva brings a Beis Shlomo who disagrees. And he says, no, it seems to me that the Rashba's case was also a case where it was clearly ambiguous. The words of the Dayan didn't indicate one thing more than the other. The Dayan said that each side is moichel the other side and forgoes all debts which are owed by the other side and all claims on the other side, apart from the shtoros, which are as valid as they are today. Now, that could equally mean all the shtoros which I assume are valid as they are today, or it could mean only the shtoros which are valid as they are today, but the ones which have already been paid off are included in the Mechila. So the Rashba's case, too, was talking about something, an expression which equally could be explained one way or the other. And nonetheless, the Rashba says the Dayan is not believed to explain what he meant. And therefore, says the Beis Shlomo, the Marival, had he seen the Tshuva of the Rashba, would surely have agreed with him. The Marival himself doesn't say his ruling is an absolute ruling, but he says he has a certain amount of doubt whether that's the correct rule, and therefore the halacha would be like the Rashba that the Dayan is not believed to say, under any circumstances, what he meant by his ruling. The Birkei Yosef of the Chidor says that perhaps we could explain there is a difference between the Rashba's case and the Marival's case in a slightly different way to the way the Shach explains. True, he says, I could agree with the Beis Shlomo. The Rashba's case is also talking about where the text of the Psak Din has two equal possible explanations. He said, apart from the shtaros which are valid today, and that could be one of two different things. The text itself could be interpreted equally both ways, but the circumstances clearly indicate that only one way was the correct intention. Because Reuven had already made a shavuah beforehand to Shimon that he would never go and pick up any of the debts from the goy. And the Dayan, at the time that he gave the Psak Din, had no reason to suspect that Reuven had done so. So although the expression of the Dayan, apart from shtoros which are as valid as they are today, could mean that I'm excluding the shtoros which have already been paid up, since the circumstances were that the Dayan had no reason to suspect there was such a possibility, and Reuven had even made a shvut that it wouldn't be such a possibility, so the circumstances indicate that that's not what the Dayan meant. So even though the literal text could be read one of two ways, since the circumstances clearly indicate that only one intention was intended, in that case the Rashba says the Dayan is not believed to give a different explanation to the words that he wrote. However, in the Marival's case, where the expression could have been read equally one of two ways, and the circumstances didn't indicate either one way or the other, in that case the Dayan is surely believed to explain what he meant by the text, the ambiguous text that he wrote. Fascinatingly, the Maharam Mintz in Tshuva Siman Kuf himself also discusses such a question, and the Maharam Mintz concludes that a Dayan is not believed, once he's written the Psaktin, to explain what he meant by the Psaktin. And he brings a proof from our Gemara in Bava Metzia Daf Pei Vav. The Gemara brings a story about the halachas of Metzorah, when if there's a Seor Lovon, which is Kodim LeBaheres, then the Gemara says, if the white hair comes before the Nega Saras of Baheres, the person is Tohar. If it's the other way around, and the Baheres comes first, the person is Tome. What about if it's a Sophic? There's a doubt whether the Baheres came before the Seor Lovon, or the Seor Lovon came before the Baheres. So the Gemara says there was a Machlokes in Shammai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the person is Tohar. But the whole yeshiva in Shammayim said the person is Tome. In such a circumstance. Said the Gemara, they asked, who will be Machria, who will decide what the halacha is in such a case? Rabba Baron Nachmanu, because Rabba, the great Amora, was a particular expert in the halachas of Metzorah. So, the Malach HaMavis was summoned to fetch Rabba, and as the story in the Gemara says, at first Rabba didn't agree to go, eventually Rabba did agree to go, and he, before he was Nifta, he said, Tohar, he pronounced the halacha is like a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that such a person is indeed Tohar. And the Basko, the heavenly voice, went out and said, Ashrecho, Rabba Banachmeni, Shugufcho Tohar, Vyosu, Nishmoscho Batohar. Happy are you, Rabba Banachmeni, that your guf is Tohar, your body is pure, and your shomer went out as you said the word Tohar. Says the Mara Mint, I don't understand. How could it be that there could be a machlokus in Shammayim, there could be a difference of opinion as to what the halacha is in a case of Metzorah. Surely HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the one who wrote the Torah. He wrote down what the halachas of Baheres and what the halachas of Seor Lovon. And if you have a doubt as to what the halacha should be in a particular case, obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be able to explain what he meant when he wrote the Torah. How is it conceivable that the Mesivta de Rakia can argue HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, no, the halacha in such a case is that it's Tomei? So the Maharam Mintz, from here you see that once something is written down, the one who wrote it has no longer got the authority to explain what he meant by the words that he wrote. Once it's written down, now we will interpret whatever is written to the best of our ability. And the one who wrote it has no authority to explain it. So Kevayoch, once the Rebbeinu Shlom had written the Torah, and he'd written there the halachos of Metzorah, after that, Kodesh Baruch Hu no longer has the authority to explain what the halacha would be in a case when we have a doubt. And therefore, it's possible even in the Mesivta de Rakia will argue and say no. Even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu said such a case would be Torah, the Mesivta de Rakia will say that the way we understand the Torah, it's Tomei. So too, says the Maharam Mintz, from here we see that a Dayan, once he's written his Psaktin, is not believed afterwards to interpret what he meant by the Psaktin. We would look at the Psaktin and we would decide according to what we understand, what a Beis Din would understand, and not what the Dayan who wrote it understands. However, there are various poskim who argue with this Maharam Mintz, and they disagree with his proof from this Gemara. The Shor HaMoshe, for example, and the Brit Yosef himself brings from others, disprove the Raya of the Maharam Mintz, and they say that the Gemara is talking about something different to a case of a Dayan. There's a famous Gemara in Bava Metzia and Daf Nun Tes, Tanu Shel Achnoi, where there was a famous machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer the Tana and all the other Tanoim as to whether something was Tomei or Tohar, and Rabbi Eliezer says it was Tohar, everyone else disagreeing says it was Tomei, and a heavenly voice came down, a baskel came down and says that the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer. Nonetheless, Rabbi Yeshua stood up and he said, even though the heavenly voice says the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer, however, the majority of us hold that the halacha is not like Rabbi Eliezer, and therefore, in that case, it was Tomei. Even though a heavenly voice came down, lo bashamayim hi, the Torah says about itself that a Torah is not in the heavens. Says the Ran, in Drushas Oran, in Drush Gimel, and then again in Drush Yud Aleph, that what does this mean? It means that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote down the Torah, and he gave it over to Moshe Rabbeinu. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, the interpretation of the Torah is given over to the Talmidei Chachomim of Klal Yisrael. Now they, who spend all their lives and all their efforts toiling in the wisdom of the Torah, they will have the ability and the authority to decide what the halacha is. They are the ones who will interpret the Torah. So much so that even in Shemayim, they cannot determine what the halacha is. Once the Torah was given over, lo b'shamayim, it's no longer in the heavens, it's down here on earth, and the Chachmei HaTorah are the ones who decide. And therefore, even if a heavenly voice said Rabbi Eliezer is correct, if all the other Tanoim disagree and hold that they are right, Achei Rebbe Mahatas, we follow the majority opinion, and halacha is not like Rabbi Eliezer. So too, says the Shoel HaMeishiv and the Birkei Yosef, in the case of the Baharis and the Seol Avon, which came first to Sofek, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Torah, and who come and sit to the Rekiyas is Tomei. Nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kevayochel does not have the authority to decide the halacha because he's already given it over to Klal Yisrael. The Chachomim, the Talmidei Chachomim of Klal Yisrael, they are the ones who decide what the halacha is. And not Kevayochel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and not even the Masif to the Rekiyah. And that's as the Chidor explains why they had to ask Rabbi Ban Nachmeni. Rabbi Nachmeni said Torah, and that was the halacha. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu had said Torah and it still wasn't the halacha, then what does it help to ask Rabbi Ban Nachmeni? How can he possibly be more than, his word be possibly worth more than HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The answer is, because the halacha was given over to the Chachomim and Klal Yisrael to decide. And therefore, if there's a machlokes in Shemayim as to what the halacha is, who decides? The Talmidei Chachomim here on earth in Klal Yisrael. They're the ones who decide what the halacha is. All that is only in the case when we're talking about how to interpret the Torah. But how to interpret an individual psak din, on this is very possible, the Dayan is Tucker believes to say, like the Marival says, if he wrote something which is ambiguous, it's not clear, it could be interpreted one way or another, then it's very possible that we can ask the Dayan to explain his words. And there's no proof from this Gemara that the Dayan is not believed to explain what he meant by his psak din. At the end of the day then, we've got various different opinions as to whether a Dayan can explain himself. And the general consensus of opinion amongst the poskim is that if there is a one clear indication of what the words meant, what the words of the psak din meant, or even if, as the Birkei Yosef says, the text itself could perhaps have two different explanations, but the circumstances of the psak clearly indicate that the Dayan had one thing in mind, then the Dayan is not believed to come along and say, what I actually meant was something else, even if we could possibly fit the second explanation into the words. If the simple reading of the explanation, or the simple reading of the words, has one clear explanation, then the Dayan is not believed to say afterwards he actually meant something completely different. However, if the Dayan wrote a psak din, and there's something there which is ambiguous and equally could mean either one thing or another, then says the Marival, and so says the Shach, and the Urim V'Tumim and the Nesivos and the Aruch HaShulchan, if it could equally be explained in two or more different ways, then the Dayan is certainly believed to explain exactly what he meant by the Psak Din, and if necessary to write a new Psak Din based on exactly what he said beforehand, and to explain which of the two possibilities he meant when he wrote his original Psak Din, the Dayan has the mnemonos and the authority to explain what he meant by his Psak Din.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultation, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.